All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate you guys being here. You know, just quick statement for me. Overall, our record this season's obviously disappointing. We're all disappointed. We have higher standards. Me personally, our coaches, our players, the entire building has higher standards. We're currently analyzing the season, and what we must do to improve is already underway. The injury situation was an issue. It's something we're going to clearly be working on this offseason. However, it's not an excuse. And the silver lining is that it forced a lot of younger players to step up. And we like a lot of the way a lot of those younger players responded. You know, we're not going to sit here and hide behind our youth and injuries. We need to evaluate everything, and we need to get better. John and his entire coaching staff deserve a lot of credit for keeping our team focused, tough, and prepared. Looking ahead this offseason, we have an opportunity to improve our team through free agency and the draft. Guys, we got a lot of work to do, and I know that. We're going to take advantage of the position that we're in. We're top five in cap space this year in free agency. With that comes major, major responsibility. We're picking extremely high in every round. We got to take advantage of that. There's been significant change to our roster since we arrived here, only 19 players on the team from the previous regime. The goal is to look for long-term solutions that lead to long-term success. It's not a quick fix building a team the right way to get us on the right track long-term. That means drafting well and developing those players. Our goal is to keep adding young, talented players to this team our fan base can grow with and eventually win Super Bowl championships. I don't think that now is the time to get into individual player contracts. I understand we have a lot of players coming out of contract, and that's going to be a priority for us and a lot of important decisions. Very soon we'll have personnel meetings with our coaches and scouts. We'll break everything down. We'll have a detailed offseason plan going forward from that meeting. Guys, we're going to be aggressive and calculated this offseason. We're in a position to do so. We'll have a clear understanding of our roster and where our needs are and where we want to add to each position. I'm honestly extremely disappointed in this season, but I'm honestly excited going forward. My message to Bears fans is simple. We're going to get better. We will improve. I hear you. But I also understand this is just talk. This meeting is just talk, and we got to show actions. We got to show results. I fully get that. With that, John, I'd like to say a few words.
Yeah, you know, Ryan did a good job there of surmising. But, you know, really on the season, you know, obviously 3-13, you know, is not acceptable. The buck stops here. I think there's no doubt that, you know, coming off of 6-10, we had higher aspirations. It just didn't happen. Looking hard at myself, all the coaches, everybody involved in football, there's no doubt we have to get better. Our issue is consistency, and it was playing four quarters, sound, solid technique, fundamental football for four quarters. Did we get close? Yes. Not consistency just in what we're doing football-wise, but even with people. I think, you know, lots been made of the injuries, and it's not so much about the injuries as it is that creates inconsistency. We'll be better in that area. Ryan touched on that. It's an area that we're going to look at hard. It is a rough, tough game, and things do happen. But, you know, again, everything starts with us and how we're prepared. Some positives, and I think some of the positiveness moving forward, you know, is the young talent, all right? Jordan Howard, you know, Cody Whitehair, Cam Meredith, Leonard Floyd, Nick Kwiatkowski, guys that got opportunities to play, maybe because of injury, maybe just because of changes in the roster. But even additional pros that are vets that we signed, Danny Trevathan, all right, Jarrell Freeman, Josh Sitton, Akeem Hicks, you know, along with veterans guys that you know, we upped, Willie Young, Pernell McPhee, Zach Miller, Kyle Long, guys that did not have the consistency in games available to play. Again, that's not an excuse. It's reality, something that we have to look at hard in every phase because, again, the buck stops here. We've got great resources of currency, Ryan talked about. The only thing positive about 3-13 is draft order, all right? We're going to have good currency in the draft with the third pick throughout the draft, and we're going to need to make good decisions in those areas. And time will tell, and like Ryan said, talk is cheap. But we do have good cap space where we can go evaluate and try to better our football team that way. Like I said, on the injuries, just to touch on it again, a lot's made. We've been here 2 years now. We had some injuries in practice last year. We looked at the fields. The organization did a great job in creating a safe environment there. More of our injuries happened in games. We're looking very hard and analyzing all that from start to finish of everything we do. Also, to Bears fans, I can tell you this, that this is foreign territory for me as well as a coach, and it is going to get better. We've got the best fans in the league. Even though it might have been a full house, there were some late games there at the end. Even though our record wasn't great, they want a winner. They want it bad, and we're here to deliver it to them, and I appreciate them home and away, some of the best fans on the planet. Much like, you make promises, and again, like Ryan says, show me. I spent a year in Missouri, and I understand, and I feel the same about the fans, is this won't happen again.
We'll go ahead and open up for questions for either John or Ryan. Just state who it's for, and go ahead, Rachel.
Ryan, how would you assess the organization's quarterback situation?
I think it's something we're going to be looking at this offseason. First of all, Rich, I understand the importance of that position, the magnitude of that position. And, hey, we played – basically four different quarterbacks this year, definitely three. And so it's a position we're looking at. It's a position we're going to evaluate. Those meetings next week will be huge for that. But trust me, I understand the magnitude of that decision going forward. That's a critical decision for me and this whole building.
John, have you made any changes on your staff?
Again, there's a lot of changes. I can tell you that our coordinators are intact. I know there was different reports throughout the season. Again, it's kind of too early to say. It's almost like who you're going to sign as a player. Again, we're in that process. Guys are under contract. I know it was publicized. Stan Drayton, had an outstanding opportunity. His goal in life is to be a head coach in college, and it was a great opportunity for him. And those kind of things happen when you have good coaches. But we're excited for Sam and Stan and that new opportunity. But right now, that's all I got for you.
In regards to the quarterback situation and finding direction there, what ultimately would you be seeking to solidify in that decision as you go forward?
I think everything's on the table right now. Really, it's free agency, it's trade, it's draft, it's current players on our team. Everything's on the table, and we got to analyze all that. And the next 2 months are going to be huge for that, and it's critical we get that right.
What do you want to find from a guy that makes you believe is the answer at that position?
I mean, there's a lot of things we value for that position. I think, this year we just lacked consistency and availability. We played with so many different quarterbacks, it was hard to find continuity. But I think we're looking for consistency and productivity from the position, and we'll find it this offseason.
Ryan, you look around the league, and patience isn't something you find a lot of general managers. Your coach next year had 23 losses in 2 seasons. What is the justification of bringing him back, and did you consider changing coaches?
David, I think I get we're all judged on wins and losses. I am, John is, the whole building is. And from day one, I said, I want us to be a tough, smart, disciplined football team. And I definitely think we're heading in that direction. I think some things happened this season that put major stress on the coaching staff, and I get that. But for us to get better long term, I think of a couple different things. It's developing our talent, and it's developing our culture. And I think we're doing both of those things. So I know this season was hard, and I know there's a lot of lack of patience really around the league, but I believe we're heading in the right direction.
Right after Adam left, you described the offense as your offense. He called it our offense.
Right.
Only six teams in the league ran the ball less than you did. I think until 2 weeks ago, it was only two teams less. Is that how your offense is supposed to work, and if not, how do you intend to fix it?
I think, situational football, the situations of games, I think adjust that. If you look at, we were top six in yards per carry, all right? So we were 17th, in the league in yards. I think when you're behind, like in many games we were, too many games, that affects that. Just like in turnovers or takeaways, I think affects that. But I think we're very efficient running the ball. I think anybody you talk to, and you look at even our last game, I know nobody liked the score or the result, but that was 183 yards rushing against the number two defense in the league. So our struggles weren't running the ball.
No, they weren't, but that's the point of the question. Is it one of the reasons maybe that you were behind in as many games as you were?
Well, very much so. There's no doubt that ball security is critical. I think inconsistency at quarterback is part of that. It's not an excuse. It's reality. You know, we went in the regular season with three different starting quarterbacks, not counting the preseason. So that's an area that we need to get more consistent at, and that's going to be a big part of moving forward and having success moving forward.
Ryan, as important as the quarterback situation is, how important is it to you to clarify Jay Cutler's status? If you're going to move on, can you afford to let that linger? Do you have to make that decision sooner rather than later?
Yeah, you know, I met with probably 30 players on Monday, and one of them was Jay, and there's a lot of real candid conversations that take place and a lot of transparency and honesty. And so some of those things I'd like to keep between us. But I think, you know, once we make a decision as an organization, whatever it is, you know, he'll be the first to know. And his agent, Buzz Cook, will be the first to know. And you know, I gave him that promise. But, again, those decisions haven't been completely finalized yet. But when they are, he'll know immediately.
And he wants to play next year, right? Did you
absolutely
get that sense from him?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's his offseason going to be like? Is he going to rehab with you guys? How is this
Yeah,
he's
rehabbing he's right now, yeah. And the one thing about Jay is, I mean, as far as his rehab from it, he's almost a freak in regards to recovering from injuries fast. So he's significantly ahead of schedule. He's rehabbing hard, and that's encouraging.
What do you make of this season this year? How much did the injuries kind of muddle that evaluation?
I think it definitely had an effect, Adam. It's, you know, it was hard. I think, you know, kind of being in and out of the lineup and playing through a lot of injuries, and that's a credit. You know, we had a handful of guys playing through some tough injuries this year, and that carries some weight.
Ryan, how do you evaluate Alshon? You guys have been here 2 years. He missed 7 complete games a year ago with injuries. Did not volunteer for your off-season program.
Yeah.
Got suspended this season with the franchise tag. In the big picture, how do you look at what he's done for you for 2 years?
Yeah, Brad, it's a good question. You know, he's and he would say this, and we talked, you know, he's an extremely talented player that has high expectations for himself. I don't think, feel like this season he really got in a rhythm that he would have liked to gotten into. I think that was because of a lot of different quarterback play. And also he missed 4 games. You know, it's hard to get for him to get in a rhythm and I think showcase what he can do. I think our overall receiver unit, we just lacked availability there, man. I mean, we had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup, and I can go through them all. And that's hard when there's that many receivers coming in and out and that many quarterbacks coming in and out. You know the chemistry that has to take place between those two positions. So I think Alshon expects more. I think he's a good player. And that's a big decision for us.
Ryan, you said it's a process for an organization to be built the right way. Where would you assess you are at in that process?
I think when we came here, I think you realize, hey, there's no quick overnight fix. You know, there's a lot of heavy lifting that's going to take place. You know, and I think I look around the league, and I think you see some teams that have older players, bad character. We're the opposite of that. I feel like we got a really good locker room with a lot of young guys that are arrow up. You know, and it's just us continuing to add to that, really. And I mean, I think this year we had the most starts amongst rookies and second-year players. I mean, that's a lot of youth on the team and a lot of guys getting better. But this offseason's huge, man, and I think there's a big responsibility with that much cap space, this high in the draft. It's a significant offseason for us, and we got to get going in that direction. I was pleased with this year's draft class. I think, you know, it's going to take 3 years to really get a full picture of it. But there's a lot of good young players that are ascending, and we just got to add to that group.
Ryan, systemically, when you look at the injury issues, what can you evaluate? What can you assess, and what would you look to change to maybe reduce that?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that constantly. It was a significant thing for us. I think the wrong thing to do is for me to put, you know, our heads in the sand and say, oh, man, it was bad luck. Maybe better luck next year. We're not going to do that. So we're going to research and analyze. We have meetings set up. We're going to look at other teams, other sports, everything, you know, from the training room to the strength and conditioning room to what we do on the field, to practice schedules. Everything's going to be analyzed because whenever you lead the league in something or you're close to leading the league, I mean, you better pay close attention, you know. And there's a lot of valuable assets that were on IR. And, again, I don't want to make excuses for that, but I also want to understand the importance of getting that right.
You pointed to a lot of positives, but the record regressed this year. Is it fair for Banners fans by the end of year 3 of this regime to say this should be a playoff team?
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of important factors this offseason, really. A lot of it's going to hinge on what we do this offseason and hinge on how much these players take the next step going forward, how much these young players grow. And I have a lot of confidence in our coaching staff that they will. and my meetings with the players this week, there's the common theme was a genuine, honest excitement of where we're heading. That's coming from them, and that's from a lot of them. So, I know these are just words, and that's what this press conference is difficult for me because, hey, I get there's a lot of skepticism. We won three games, you know, but I'm here to tell you that we're going to work hard this offseason. We're going to get this thing going in the right direction. We have a lot of ammunition to do so. One of the things that was hard with our previous draft class were the injuries. I mean, really, our top three picks from the 15 draft class ended up on IR, and you look for second-year growth from a lot of those players. And just be honest with you guys, that bothers me. There's a valuable second-year growth that some of those guys missed out on, so we need to be able to compensate for that and accelerate those guys. But I'm excited. I'm excited about when you really peel back and you look and you're in the locker room and you're on the field and you're looking at some of our young core players and where they're heading. That gets me excited, you know.
So, Kevin, when you do look at the 2015 class, what do you see from them as you get to the end of year two?
It's really that class. It's really, Rich, it's really availability, you know, and unfortunately, there's been a couple things that sidelined them for different reasons. And I think even Jeremy Langford, you know, high expectations for him. I think he's going to be a good player. But I think, you know, this ankle injury hobbled him early, and I honestly think it affected him this season. So we got to get those. I mean, part of the, John touched on it with the players in the team meeting. You know, you got 105 days off right now. And there's a lot of things you can do to kind of fortify your body to be ready for the grind of the season. And we're going to focus on that. You know, I mean, you know, unfortunately with Kevin two years in a row, I mean, he's frustrated. He understands there's that stigma on him. And he's out there to prove everybody wrong. He's kind of got a chip on his shoulder. You know, Eddie's battled ankle injuries for a couple years in a row now. We got to get that figured out. So, and there was an unfortunate injury to Grassu, but he's been working here hard every day, and I see him as a future leader for us. Those are all unfortunate things that we got to get better at.
With Kevin, do you kind of with the two major surgeries, same like do you kind of have to temper expectations for him as an organization because of what he's went through with his leg?
I don't really temper. You know, he's such a positive outlook guy. You know, and it was the same leg, but it was two different injuries. You know, so I feel like he's in a really good spot with that right now. You know, I'm almost one of like. Hey, Kevin's like wanting to go, and it's like, hey, slow down on this. Let's make sure we're doing this right. So when you come back, everything's aligned. Your gait, your hips, your hamstrings, everything's aligned. So you're ready to go full speed.
Right, so he can be the same guy. I mean, he ran a 4.35 at the combine.
Yeah.
So he can be the same guy.
Yes.
Two surgeries. Yeah. The same way.
Yes. Yes. That's that. This is 100% recoverable, and it really, I think it's also when you come off a major injury like that, and you guys know this, it's a matter of getting your body aligned. And I think, you know, again, there's a gait analysis and all kinds of things that have to take place to make sure your hips and your hamstrings are ready to play at that type of speed.
Brent, how would you characterize your conversations with management, ownership about the losses, the empty seats, and how maybe the sense of urgency felt upstairs affects how you can approach this offseason?
Yeah, I think, David, it's the relationship with ownership and Ted and the whole building. Our offices are all side by side. And I think if there's one thing a season like this can do, you know, it actually can bring you closer, you know. And the communication is happening all the time. There's with us, there's not a lot of formal meetings. There's daily conversations that are taking place. And I'm a firm believer in tough times, communication needs to be at an even greater height. And so they know exactly where we are. They know exactly where we're going.
So you don't put any pressure to kind of speed up the process a little bit?
No,
you said it's a big process.
You know, I just feel confidence in us and trust in what we're doing and trust in the plan. And, again, it's a results-based business, and this season was not acceptable. But I think, again, I think if you look deeper into it and peel back some layers, there are some reasons to be optimistic. And, again, a lot of it's going to hinge on what we do this offseason.
When you looked at the Tampa game, that was about as healthy as you guys have been the entire season. Coming off a win, you're coming off a bye, and obviously we all know what happened in that game. What was your evaluation in terms of that game and how it characterized the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at that game, trying to reflect back on all these games, we played really well the week before, right? And there was inconsistencies at certain positions that game that really hurt us, you know. And again, that's what I'm talking about this offseason is, and John touched on this. We need to play well for four quarters, and we didn't do that enough this year. There's too many lulls. There's too many moments where we're turning the ball over and we're trying to play from behind and catch up. And where we are as an organization right now, we can't beat ourselves. you know, we got to play smart, disciplined, efficient football, and we're not in a position to beat ourselves, and those are things we got to clean up.
How do you explain 11 takeaways after a franchise low 17?
I looked at that, Brad, and I think, you know, that's obviously that's a major issue. And, you know, I go back and I look at Vic Fangio, where he's been, you know, and in San Francisco, and you go back and look, he's ranked very high in takeaways wherever he's been. That's his track record. Top five for a number of years in San Francisco. I honestly think we need to add more playmakers to our secondary. We need to add more ball skills to our secondary. That's on me, and we'll do that.
Now, you and Ryan have both talked about inconsistency over four quarters. What are some of the causes for that, and what are some of the fixes for it?
Well, I think, you know, I stress to our team the best ability is availability. And whether it was suspension, all right, or injury.
I'm sorry, I mean, within the game, you talked about inconsistency over
Well, that's what I'm saying, okay. Is when you're changing players all the time, you get more inconsistent. You look around teams with success in the league, continuity is huge in a season or really in an organization, all right? Football is the ultimate of team games, and when you're rolling different people in there all the time, whether it's in your job or my job, it makes it more difficult when you're operating against somebody that's been doing it for some time at a high level together. So, that's the reality of what we have, all right, and what we went through. Our guys, again, character-wise, all right, handled it as well as you possibly could. I'm talking about a locker room, not splintering, sticking together. And we've got to be better. You know, I think what's encouraging to me is you go back, you know, a couple weeks ago, and you're playing a playoff team, and you go toe-to-toe with them. Now you find a way to lose, and when you're young, you got to learn to compete. Now we need to learn how to win. And I'm excited about it going forward because of that. Just examples of that throughout the season. And trust me, I know, 3-13 is not what we're looking for.
Ryan, if Aronis comes back, you have a potential logjam in the middle of your line. If all four of those guys are among your five best, is Kyle Long or Whitehair or somebody a candidate to be moved out to tackle?
It's a good question, and that would be a good problem for us to have. I think if there's one thing that I've learned this season, we can't have enough depth, and especially on your offensive line. So, Aronis, I view him as more of a center only. So if he comes back, that'd be the position he'd be competing for. And hey, if Aronis is playing like a solid NFL starting center and he gets to that level, which I think he can, that's a good problem. And the thing is, as you know, we have flexibility with some other guys. You know, Cody Whitehair is a flexible player. That's one of his best traits, and Kyle is too. So. We'll see how it shakes out, but if he's back playing healthy at a starting level, that'll all sort out, get the best five on the field.
But is there a concern that Kyle, coming off an injury and having been switched back and forth, can you afford to move him again?
That's something we're going to have to talk about. Yeah, that would be a concern, moving him around back and forth. We're going to have to be conscious of that, and I think, Kyle's coming off two injuries now, so he's going to have the shoulder and the ankle. And so he's going to miss a lot of time this offseason. So, yeah, that's in our minds, and making sure we're handling it the right way and trying to reduce the situation where he's getting moved around too much, because he's at his best when he's at one focus on one position. Right. That's an honest answer.
You talked about adding more playmakers in the secondary. Your secondary only generated four turnovers in 2015. Why wasn't that a greater emphasis this past offseason?
I think, when we signed Tracy Porter, I had high expectations that Fuller would be healthy this year. So I think Tracy battled some things this season. Obviously, Fuller wasn't available, and Callahan, it was another player that we really had high expectations for, and he was kind of in and out of the lineup. So it's a position it's going to be a major need going forward, and I just think we had too many injuries and bumps that kind of derailed that a little bit.
Brian, what did you make of Kyle Fuller's situation?
I think he's frustrated, Rich, and I think we are too, and I think we opened up that 3-week window and with the full expectation that by the end of that he'd be ready to go, he's trying to get stronger and he's trying to do all the little things right, and I'm not giving up on Kyle Fuller. He was a high draft pick by this organization, and it's on us to do everything we can to get him playing back at a top level. You guys know it's a position of need for us, and getting him back where he can play, it would be huge for this organization. So he's got to have an important big offseason. He knows that.
I think the confusion there is he had a knee scope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, usually that's something that people come back from very quickly. I think that's where the confusion lies. If he just had a knee scope, why did he miss the whole year?
Yeah, I think there's all kinds of things going on. Like, he had a knee scope to clean up his knee. There's a lot of things, too, where strengthening areas around the knee, strengthening the small muscles around the knee. And at his position especially, different than some other positions, you got to have that twitch and that suddenness and that explosiveness. And he just didn't feel like he has it, and we didn't feel like he had it either. So there'd be moments in practice, especially early on in practice, where he would look good and quick, and I would go grab coach and be like, hey, man, look, Kyle looks good. And by the end of practice, he would fatigue a little bit. And we got to get him to a point where he's strong enough where that fatigue doesn't occur, because that can't happen in a game, obviously. So, again, I haven't given up on him. We're going to surround him with everything we need to do this offseason and try to get him right.
Long term, though, right? This is nothing. I mean, this is nothing like
that. I hope not. Oh, well, this offseason is critical for him.
Ron, circling back to Alshon, when the suspension hit in November, what sort of new questions did that leave you with as you obviously face a decision with him going forward in regards to his entire situation?
Yeah, the PED things are obviously a real sensitive subject, and unfortunately we had two of them this year, and both of them surprised us. And we do everything we can to educate our players, and the union does too. And it was hard, man, because, you know, you miss four games, you know, of a critical season at a critical point in your contract. It's hard, you know. So, but to get into the specifics of his contracts and how it affected it, you know, I don't think now's the platform for that. But, you know, me and Alshon have honest, candid conversations, and him and his agent, we'll talk through all that.
Going back to Bourbonnais, you said that the main criteria for this season was going to be availability.
Mm-hmm.
So when he plays 12 games but he misses the four for that particular reason, how do you go about applying, you know, in your evaluation, the suspension to the fact that he was otherwise available?
It's a good question. Physically, he was available. I thought he did a good job taking care of his body this year. Soft tissue injuries went down. So,
but is that possibly because of whatever he was suspended for?
Yeah, I mean, I saw how he worked and how he's prepared and kind of where his focus has been and his mindset. So that, to me, was more the thing, you know. Again, it was unfortunate. He's disappointed in himself, and he's looking to, you know, to make up for it. You know?
Brian,
Danny Trevathan suffered a pretty serious injury. Can you count on him to be at full strength at any point, and can you count on him to be the player you signed?
Yeah, I think this is a guy, I know, you know, he's been communicating with some other guys in the league that have had a similar injury and have come back from it and are currently playing at a high level. So we're optimistic. He's optimistic. He's working hard. It could be a situation where he misses a lot of the offseason, the OTAs, and we get to camp, and we got to make an evaluation at that point. Is he ready to go? Is he a PUP guy? We'll have to make that decision then. But it's an injury he can fully recover from, and so I think we'll be all right.
Ryan, in terms of overall emphasis, going to the plan, you talked about wanting to get back to playoffs and all the things that sound good. If you had to prioritize, or fixing the quarterback, is it just a matter of getting healthy? Is it defense? I mean, if you had to articulate what your plan is to get back to the playoffs next year, where would it start?
Yeah, there's. I think right now it starts with first, David, analyzing our current roster. Your offseason plan is flawed if you don't identify your roster and step back to take a deep breath and really say, okay, where are our current needs at? You know, because I think there's some flaws in that, right? And I think you can sit here and make excuses for guys or whatnot. We got to look at that with a real honest, open approach. We only won three games this year, and it's not just because of the injuries. So it starts there, and then from there, hey, we develop our needs, and then you determine, hey, you got to have a really good feel for free agency and the draft, and where they're strong in different areas. Hey, maybe this is an area we really want to attack in free agency because it's deep there, and I feel like there's some capable players. Maybe there's positions where we need to add a vet. You know, we need vet experience at this position. There's some real deep positions in the draft that I know, so. I mean, it's still got to come together.
Many of us say quarterback, fixing the quarterback is the number one priority for the Bears because it always is the number one priority. Can you agree with that? Do you agree with that?
In my mind, there's no more important position than the quarterback. You know, it's a critical, critical position. And I know and I recognize that the decision that we make on that quarterback is going to be significant for all of us, for the direction this organization is going to head.
The Senior Bowl became reality yesterday. From your perch, from a scouting standpoint, what do you sense will be the greatest value of that weekend and some doors open to evaluate prospects a little closer?
So we are never going to be in this position again. But we better take advantage of it while we're here. So we're picking high in the draft. We better take advantage of that. We're coaching the Senior Bowl. I mean, there's a huge opportunity there. Our training staff, our equipment guys, our coaches, our scouts, our video guys, we were down there the whole time. So, and I went over the list of guys with John the other night of all the players that were at the Senior Bowl. And there's impact play, as you guys know. And so now you're not just on the field with them. Or we're not just having some 15-minute formal interview where they're coached up. We got them with our trainers. We got them with our equipment guys. We got them in environments where I can really tell what kind of people they are. And I think sometimes, you guys know, it's not just identifying who you like, it's identifying who you need to eliminate. And I think that week's going to give us a real great opportunity to do that. I'm excited about it.
It's a very genuine enthusiasm you have for this opportunity.
I'm fired up about it. I know coaches.
I talked to Jason Garrett. They coached it last year, and they had a quarterback that I think they hit on late that did pretty good.
My understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, but when we first met you and John 2 years ago, you were brought in to be complete charge of football operations, including the hiring of your head coach. John has responsibility for his coaching staff. Assuming that's the case, are you comfortable that all of your staff, coaching staff, are the best people for the job that are available?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. And you're correct. That is how it is set up. And so, obviously, John and I have a tight, close relationship, and we talk about staff all the time. And it's not just the coaching staff. It's all the department heads and football ops. So, hey, we're talking about our scouts, and we're talking about our trainers, and every department in football ops. But I'm confident in this coaching staff. I am. I mean, of course, every year, win or lose, there's some changes with position coaches and even some scouts. I think that happens. But I'm confident in this staff going forward.
And really,
what was your reaction to the reports about friction?
I think there was a lot of rumors and a lot of speculation this year. Guys, let's just hit it all out. There was rumors of that. There was rumors of consultants. There was rumors of this or that. And you know what? I look at myself. Hey, when we win 3 games, rumors come. That's part of it. And until we start winning more games around here, those rumors will go away, you know? And I think if you're tight internally, which we are, and sometimes those things make you tighter, then, hey, you just let it roll off your back. I think the mistake is to get consumed by it or caught up in it. You know, I take a lot of pride in having the self-discipline to block that out and do your job. You know?
So, from your perspective, Ryan, what is the relationship between John and Vic like? How do they coexist?
It's good. I mean, John's a former defensive coordinator, so there's a lot of constant communication there, and it's good. Their offices are side by side. And, hey, man, you guys have been around football long enough. Like, when you're going through a tough season, of course there's going to be debates that happen. It should happen. It happens in the draft room. It happens with coaches. But it's a healthy, productive relationship.
Another rumor was the Bill Polian rumor. John had to answer that during the season. This is the front office. It's your realm. Is it changing at all? Did the structure changing in the front office?
No, it's not.
Anyone above you?
No, it's not. And so, and again, I think the relationship that I have with ownership here is critical. And I think whenever you're taking one of these opportunities, that's one of the first things you ask yourself, right? Like, is how is that going to take place? How is the relationship going to be? And I couldn't ask for anything better. And Bears fans should know, ownership here gives us everything we need to do to win games. It's on us to put together a roster to win those games. But as far as the communication between me and the ownership and Ted and everybody, it's as close as it's ever been. And I think it helps eliminate those rumors very quickly when they come up.
So, Ryan, spent the last 2 days looking at your staff, what did you like about what Dow Loggins did this year to retain him?
Well, I think, you know, at 3-13, I think we were 15th in the league, which is just slightly above average on offense, fifth per play. So we got explosive plays. We ran the ball efficiently, right? You know, when you're behind and trying to play catch up and late in the games, those totals go down. If you look at the 3 games we won, it's what came first, the chicken or the egg. Number 24 had 20 carries or more, all right? Well, it's because we had a lead in all 3 of those games. You know, so sometimes they can read the wrong thing. But I think that, obviously, we didn't score enough points. A lot of, obviously, turnovers are big on that. Minus 20 in the turnover ratio is definitely not a formula for success, and that's twofold, actually threefold. You can put special teams in there as well. I think from design to starting with 3 quarterbacks, with the rotation of receivers and inconsistencies in personnel we had throughout that and still do that, I think is a positive sign. Are we there yet? No. All right, but I don't think it's play calling and design that are issues. You know, it's just being able to remain consistent in our performance, and with that comes a lot of different stuff.
Brian, has Pernell McPhee been the player you thought you were getting, and is there any kind of cost efficiency issue with him as it pertains to the cap?
You know, I honestly would say there might not be a player that I'm more proud of than Pernell, and the way he's responded from this injury and the changes that he's made, not just in the building but out of the building with his diet and his weight and his work ethic, and he's one of the top leaders on this team, and people follow his attitude and his physicality. I think he was getting healthier and healthier as the season went on. I mean, I can think of practices late in the season when we're in the indoor, and I see him come around the corner and bend the corner with speed, and I'm like, hey, that's the Pernell that I'm used to seeing, you know. And I think, unfortunately, the shoulder injury, you know, pursuing to the ball, he injured his shoulder, and he's going to have to overcome that. But Pernell is a professional. Pernell is a leader, and I do think that he's just going to get healthier and healthier. And to answer your question, he is worth the investment, and I hope to see that more next year.
Brian, you had a player in.
When you look at Leonard's season, where did you see growth as he came along through the process, and also as he finishes the year, obviously with two concussions? What are your thoughts on that, mm-hmm. given that they happened sort of in a similar manner?
I think the sky's the limit for Leonard Floyd. I think you guys saw that. His athleticism, his quickness, he's 100 miles an hour to the ball every single play. He's just refining his technique as a pass rusher, so his hand use. And that's going to continue to get better. But he has some special things, you know, that we saw in the draft that you can't coach, you know. And he's the right kind of person to he's highly intelligent, so we can move him around. The injuries, the concussions, he has no history of concussions prior to this, no history of concussions at Georgia. So, yeah, having two concussions, you know, late in the year, you know, we're going to be smart about that. He really needs to learn to play with better technique in regards to keeping his head up, especially when you're running into Akeem Hicks. It's not, you know, it's not a good thing. So
bad matchup.
Yeah, but we're going to take care of that. He'll be an impact player for us going forward.
Brian, you had a player in Alshon Jeffrey guarantee you win the Super Bowl next year. Do you agree with that? Do you see that as a possibility for next year?
You know, when he said that, somebody texted me that, and my initial I like that he said that. You know, I mean, that shows kind of you know, an important player on this team, how he feels about this team and how he feels about this locker room. And when I told you when I talked to the players Monday, that was the common theme. I mean, you've done enough where you can tell there's a genuine excitement about this locker room and kind of a closeness of this team.
And you've got to think it and believe it before it happens.
Management decisions get legislated during games. There were some timeout issues at the end of halves and end of games. Is that purely your decision, or is that something you're talking about?
No, we have a system of it. You know, there's coaches in the box. I can't tell you exactly what you're referring to, but we have people assigned upstairs that's all they do. Whether it's going for two, whether it's clock management, use of timeouts as it relates to that.
Right, philosophically, when you look at, you said you have a lot of avenues you can go down, you can trade, free agency, the draft. In terms of draft picks for players, in terms of, you know, trade aspect of discussion, how much do you value draft picks versus players who might be ready now?
Yeah, that's a great question, David. I think there's a balance, you know, right now kind of evaluating what's in the draft at certain positions and how close are those guys ready to play versus, okay, if you're going to trade for a guy, where is he at in his career? You know, is there upside ahead of him? Is this just a stopgap player? You know, what's the demand and the asking price for some of these trades? You know, and that depends on the market. Every year that changes. There's about 50 different scenarios that can take place with all those things, and we have to make sure that as we're looking at those that we have our scenarios in the right order.
Right, you had a lot of players who made young players, rookies who made an impact, but of the players who did not, Bush, Bullard, Braverman, Houston Carr, who has the most potential? Is there a player you see that we have not seen yet that you really feel will be an impact player next year?
That's a good question. I think, you know, I can just kind of talk about a couple of them. Bullard, came from a defense at Florida that's a little bit different than what we do here, and so there's a transition going on for him right now. His best attributes are his get-off and his athleticism and getting up the field. So, hey, learning how to come off and strike blocks and use your hands and shed, those are things he's working on. What I really like about Bullard is you always want players that are very self-aware, and they know kind of what they are and what they need to improve upon on. And Bullard is that one of those guys. So I think he knows he needs to have a good off season. He needs to get stronger. He needs to add weight. But he has some things that we can't coach, and that's the quickness and the get-off and the burst. I think he's an instinctive player too. So you'll see there's a natural feel, you know, cross face a block and get back in position. And so I still have high hopes for Bullard. It's only been 1 year. You know, he's a young player. Bush. You know, has a lot of range, a lot of athleticism, needs to make more plays on the ball, you know. And I think just getting comfortable back there with your angles and your reading reaction times and your instincts, that'll come. You know, a lot of these guys are young players, and some of them grow at different levels, you know. And I've seen that before. I've seen, you know, hey, I don't know about this guy year one, then he makes a major leap. So it's a good draft class. Obviously, they all have different attributes. It's a real tight-knit draft class. They're always together. And I'm excited about it. Again, we won't know until 3 years, being honestly, but I think there's a lot of potential in that draft class.
So you guys do add a young quarterback. What do you guys like about Dowell and David Gong in terms of developing
a younger quarterback? I think they showed this year that, basically playing three, four different quarterbacks, I think it says something to bring in Matt Barkley late in the year and him function well, you know, for a guy that wasn't even with us during training camp. You know, I think it says something about those guys. I like the fact that Burgon played quarterback at a high level. I think that's important when you're coaching that position and asking them to do certain things that you've seen it yourself. I think this situation is set up well to handle that if that's what ends up being what happens.
Right. You mentioned for a quarterback that's kind of maybe want to limit turnovers a little bit. Is that something when you look at the draft or look at free agency or trades?
It's probably one of the most important attributes, yeah, your decision making, and that's critical. You know, again, John referenced it when we're, you know, bottom in the, if you look at our turnover ratio this year and we're bottom in the league, look at the bottom five teams. They're all bad teams right now. We got to get out of that category. It starts with not throwing interceptions.
Ryan and John,
my challenge that comes up because you guys are kind of in this pigeonhole spot a little bit with the quarterback position, having to add to it at this point because you didn't draft one the last couple of years and because of the situation of the veterans. Is there a challenge or are there also benefits to being in that spot?
I think there's benefits. I think, you know, when you're, you know, again, there's so many different things that can take place. There's a bunch of different scenarios. But I think if you are talking about adding the quarterback, you want to make sure your roster is equipped to handle that quarterback, you know. And so when you come into a situation where there are a lot of holes and there are a lot of heavy lifting that needs to take place and you're trying to fill needs all over the roster, hey, when the position comes and it's right for us to strike a quarterback, the environment's more conducive for that quarterback to have success.
Ryan Warrior, Patrick, and then Jim.
Thanks, bro. you said you guys aren't going to be in this position again. With a mandate to win and win a lot more than you did this year, how do you balance that with the fact that your answer at quarterback might be somebody that has to develop?
Mm-hmm. That's it's all part of it. So it's there's things you can do. You got to be careful about sometimes. It's a case-by-case basis, right? So if you get a young quarterback, is he ready to play right now? Maybe he isn't. Maybe you need a bridge quarterback to help out that transition. But, hey, look, we're going to be able to run the ball effectively. We need to play better defense. There's a lot of complementary things we can do to help that position.
Ryan, John, a two-fold question. First off, what's your promise to Bear fans for next season? And if this was to happen again, would you both expect to be back for the following season?
I think my promise to Bears fans, and I really mean this, is there's not a moment that goes by that we're both not consumed with getting this right. This is unacceptable. It's painful to deal with. I get it. And we're going to get better. There's a lot of young players that are going to improve. There's a lot of players coming back that are going to help us. There's a lot of things we can do this offseason to make us better. I knew this wasn't an overnight fix. And I think you've got to be careful with that sometimes. Sometimes, hey, there's a little bit of a panic on, oh, and then you start reaching for bad character guys or big contracts on you know, wrong players. I think we got to be calculated and measured why we're going through this. And we will be. Patience is hard. I get that. We got to prove it on the field.